Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning. We want to welcome you on this fourth Sunday in Lent. And we are so glad that you're with us today as we can join together in worship. And since I have the website fixed now, Bluehost fixed the website. And that we are able to be able to get the messages on the website again. We want to welcome all of those that will be listening online. And we're glad that you're here today. And we're going to be talking a little bit later on about God working in our lives as we trust in Him through whatever's happening. And so we're grateful today. So let's stand together and join together and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's join together there this morning for our call to worship. Come, all who are weary and burdened, Christ calls to you. Christ has called our names.
He has redeemed our lives.
We rejoice in Christ's love for us. Let us give thanks for God's all-embracing love.
We will sing of God's deeds with joy.
Well, let's turn in our hymn books this morning, something we haven't done for a while. 227 this morning, Down at the Cross.
Jason, all four verses?
No, we're only going to be doing the first two verses. Sorry, verses 1 and 2 this morning.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
So just to let you know, when she asked which verses we're going to sing the other two in just a minute, since we can't sing You're My All in All because it was on the overhead. So let's join together there for our opening prayer. Lord, You know our fears and frets. You know our doubts and despair. As we worship today, open our hearts and spirits to hear Your words of salvation offered for us. Help us to not fear the light, but rather to rejoice in its comforting strength. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may be seated, and if you still have your hymn books open, number 227, we're going to sing the third and fourth verse this morning.
Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I am entered in. There Jesus
sing the chorus again. Glory to his name. Blood applied. Glory to his name. Thank you. It was good hearing you guys sing this morning. Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning, if they would. Good morning, girls. How are you guys doing this morning? All right. I have a question for you. See if you can answer it for me. So has there ever been a time when you couldn't see something just right? Okay, can you tell me a little bit about it? So one time when you woke up, were you having some trouble seeing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You know, when I was your age, I remember one time waking up with so much goop. How many of you remember the when they used to call it goop in your eyes? No. You remember that? And when we were little kids, you know, none of my kids ever experienced that. Does anybody remember, what was that called?
Pink eye.
No, not pink eye. No, it was like your eyelashes on the bottom and top were kind of like matted together. You couldn't get your eyes open. Dad used a solution that washed it out, and then, you know, and that was really freaky, something like that. Sometimes that can happen. Or maybe you were trying to see something and somebody was blocking you, or something you were trying to look through and it made it look all fuzzy. And you couldn't see just right or clear? Yes. And you know what? If your sister was here today, she could tell us a little bit about with her glasses and everything. You know, because sometimes as you get older, you've got to keep changing your prescription. Yeah, so you can keep seeing clearly. And in our scripture today that we're looking at, in the Old Testament, it tells the story about the Israelites looking up to a pole that God instructed Moses to put up with a snake on it, on the pole, a bronze snake. He made it and put it up on a pole so that the Israelites could be healed of snake bites in the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never wanted to be bitten by a snake. In fact, do you like snakes? Do you like snakes? I'm not a fan of snakes either. Never was. And then I know people that love them. They have them in there for pets in their bedroom. That would be creepy. I'd be locking it and padlocking it and a couple other locks to make sure that thing couldn't get out at night. Yeah. Yeah, and I know, well, one of the Mayanese elementary teachers used to have snakes in her room. Yeah, and you could see them. Yeah, and so, that would have been scary, what was going on. But God told Moses to do that so they could look up. Well, guess what? Jesus uses that story, and he says that after my death and resurrection, people are going to look to the cross and my resurrection, and when they look to me, they're going to be healed, because God does a work in our hearts. And sometimes we need to have our eyes in focus so that we can see what God has done for us in Jesus and look to Jesus. And sometimes we need, because sometimes we go through life and we kind of forget, we're so busy with everything going on, we kind of forget about God and so forth. And sometimes we need to be reminded to keep looking to God and to Jesus. Okay? All right, you guys can go on downstairs. And we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. And as we go to prayer. And so we will let you begin there. Someone this morning. Yep, go ahead. That's a good answer. I'm glad to hear that. And we want to continue praying for Katie. Yeah. Yeah. Any others? Yes.
Keep Raymond Schweiger in your prayers since he's going in for tests this week. And Beth Kendall, as she's also getting ready to go in for some tests on her sinuses.
Oh, you said Bev Kendall?
Yes.
Okay. So several that are going in for tests. And while we're speaking about that, I had mentioned last week, appreciate your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce, who is also going in for tests this week. He's having a biopsy, and we'd appreciate your prayers for him also. So somebody else, yes. What is her first name again?
Sheila.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Any others this morning? Yeah, go ahead.
Traveling mercies for mom and dad that are in Florida on Tuesday.
I just heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that. They want to go down there and enjoy that sunshine. And so, definitely want to keep them in our prayers. And they got their good friends down there. I think they're probably missing, too. So I thought I saw another hand. Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
I'd like to thank the church for all the first ones.
Yes, and I was just thinking about that when I saw you downstairs earlier. It was good to see you back in the service this morning. And hopefully, if Carla happens to listen to this later on today, that she will be back in a few more weeks here, too. We're looking for that, but thank God. So someone else. Yeah.
Brother Roger and Nancy are celebrating their 70th anniversary.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Yes. Congratulations to them. You'll have to tell them we were thinking about them today. Somebody else. Yes.
Lindsay got shocked at the aquarium the other day in her arms and hand are still a little tingling.
Really? Wow. Well, we want to keep... Okay, but we definitely want to pray for her anyways, yes. Yeah, because that can be a little scary when you have lingering effects because you're wondering what was affected. She was sharing, Lindsay received a shock at the aquarium. That's probably where she works at.
They're creating an aquarium and they were...
Oh.
Water and there was a blower in there.
Okay. Well, anyways, she was having lingering effects from it, tingling in her hand and arm, so... Definitely want to keep her in our prayers. Someone else this morning? Anyone else? All right. Well, we have plenty of them. We want to continue lifting it up, Carla, and as she is recovering. And we want to lift up Lynn, who will be getting, I think, operated on here in the next week or so. I'm going to find out. What is that?
23rd.
Thank you. 23rd, good. That's more specific. I think Bev had shared that it was towards the end of the month, but we weren't sure exact date. So, and anybody else then this morning? All right. Well, as she plays this morning, it'll give you a chance to pray, and then I will come and close us out.
Our gracious God, as we pause today, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for what Jesus did as we declare our glory to his name. And as we're coming in to just a few more weeks of this Lenten journey, and then we will be into Holy Week, and we remember all that Jesus did, we just want to say thank you today. And we are grateful and thankful, Lord. Lord, because of what Jesus did, not only can we receive forgiveness and new life and abundant life, but also we know that we can call upon you as our healer. And that, as Peter tells us, that by his stripes we are healed. And today we lift up those that have been mentioned today. Lord, those that are in need of your healing touch, some are in need of a miracle, some are in need of grace and strength. But Lord, we lift up the various ones. We continue to lift up Katie. Thank you for the good report so far there. And we're continuing to pray for your continued healing, grace, and strength, and peace and hope there also. And Lord, we lift up the three that have been mentioned that are going in for tests this week. God, we just lift up each one of them, Raymond and Bev and Bruce today, God. We're just asking that you would be with them, that your healing grace and touch will be with and upon each of them, God. And Lord, we're just trusting you for a good report. And God, we know that you know each of those situations. And so we trust them into your hands, and we look to you as the one that heals. And Lord, we lift up Sheila, Lord, that's still battling the side effects of this COVID, God. We just ask for your healing touch there. Lord, we lift up Lindsay to you, God, praying for your healing touch there and your grace for her, Lord, and we're praying that there's nothing there that is anything serious, God, and Lord, that the recovery will come. Lord, we lift up Carla to you, God, and thank you for your continued healing touch and strength for her, and we're grateful to have Dana with us today, and that he is recovering well. Continue to give him your strength, we pray today. Lord, we lift up Lynn, who's going in for surgery on the 23rd. God, that you will just guide the surgeon's hands and be with her, and that everything will be able to be taken care of. Lord, we just lift up Bev and Tammy and the boys. We continue to ask for your grace and peace. And Lord, we lift up Smoke and Mary as they're going to be traveling this week, that you'll just continue to watch over them and keep them in your care. And Lord, we continue to lift up all of those that we have been praying for over the last weeks, God, and months, Lord. We continue to think about our first responders and the medical personnel and our schools and teachers and staff and so many of the essential workers who have been working through and all that we've been facing. But Lord, we lift up especially those that may be battling COVID at this time. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch, your grace. Continue to give the doctors wisdom as they work with them. And let your hand be upon each of them. And we're grateful and thankful for that. And thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today as we gather to worship in your name. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered, there you are in our midst. And we look to you today. We look up to you today. And we're grateful. And we pray your blessing upon the rest of the service. As we break the bread of your word, may you speak to our hearts, encourage us, and continue to lead us forth as people who look to you. And Lord, as we then share in the wafer and in the cup today, God, at your table, we just ask that you would extend your grace and your touch and your healing into our lives, that we might be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, I especially pray for some reason, I lift up those that may be facing discouragement today. Lord, I just ask that you would lift them up, lift that burden off of their shoulders today, and give them freedom, I pray, in the name of Jesus, that they may sense your peace today, God, as they walk out of this place. as we thank you for it now and ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your faithful giving. We appreciate that so much, and we know that that is the way that God uses us, not only to continue the work of the ministry here through our local church, but also in touching lives around our community and world. And so as we give our thanks to God today, let's join together and sing our doxology and then join for our prayer of dedication. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's join together there for our dedication. O generous one, we give thanks to you for these gifts. May they be used to bring blessing to your church and build your kingdom of love and peace. Amen. Amen. Well, I just realized that I don't have the scripture because I was so used to the PowerPoint. And so I'm going to have to open that up here and take care of that. We're looking at two passages that we're going to be reading from today. The first one comes from Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to be reading verses 4 through 9. And this is talking about the Israelites in the wilderness. They marched from Mount Hor on the Red Sea road around the land of Edom. The people became impatient on the road. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why did you bring us up from Egypt to kill us in the desert where there is no food or water? And we detest this miserable bread. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the Israelites died. The people went to Moses and said, We've sinned, for we've spoke against the Lord and you. Pray to the Lord so that he will send the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, Make a snake and place it on a pole. Whoever is bitten can look at it and live. Moses made a bronze snake and placed it on a pole. If a snake bit someone, the person could look at the bronze snake and live. And then from John this morning, John chapter 3, very familiar passage, also our lectionary gospel reading that we are quite familiar with. And we're going to be starting in verse 14 and then reading through there verse 21. This is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only son. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. You know, as I always like to share something funny, I don't know if you'd classify this as a joke or not, but it was something sent to me. In fact, I think it was Tom Benzinger sent these to me years ago, and I haven't shared a lot of them, but I thought I'd share this morning. Well, while a man was working at a pizza parlor, the man was ordering a small pizza to go. He happened to be alone, and the cook asked him if he would like it to be cut into 4 pieces or 6. He thought about it for some time, and then he just said, just cut it into 4. I just don't think I'm hungry enough for 6 pieces. And then a little thing says under it, yes, they walk among us. He sent me like 2 pages of those kind of things like that. This morning, I want to talk to you about a change of focus. Change of focus. There was a pair of Christian philosophers by the name of Hugh and Richard who lived at a monastery called Saint Victor in Paris many centuries ago. And here's what they said in their writings and different things as they studied scripture and philosophy and everything. They said that humanity has 3 eyes. Bet you didn't know that. 3 eyes. The first, they claim, is the eye of sight. This is ordinary, everyday vision in which we see and sense the world around us. The second is the eye of reason. The eye of reason. This is the scientific way of looking at life, analyzing, doing experiments, drawing conclusions, and so forth, and making connections. And they said that that is connected with the first eye. So the first two are connected. The third eye, they call the eye of understanding. The eye of understanding. And this one builds upon senses and science, yet goes further. You could call it, like the Apostle Paul calls it, the eye of faith. The eye of faith, which leaves us in awe and wonder as we look with further vision and see what God offers us in Christ. And I was thinking about that this morning as I had read about that and somebody that I had that had written about this and talked about those guys saying that. I had kind of copied it and put it into my computer a long time ago. And for some reason, when I was doing some research this week on my sermon, I came across that and I saw that and I thought, that's interesting, because I think that that's what our stories, our readings are about this morning. First of all, in the first reading, the Israelites lost their third eye while in the wilderness. What happened? Well, think about this for a minute. Hunger and thirst and exhaustion has taken over in their lives. Have you ever heard of that expression or that word that we use today called "I'm hangry"? I've got a few saying yes and some going no. Well, hangry is the word that means I'm hungry, and I better get something to eat soon because I'm getting angry. Okay? So that's kind of the idea that's going on. And it began to take over their lives, and they began to whine and complain. But they just didn't whine and complain about their situation. The text tells us that they began to whine and complain about God. Now, no doubt all of us whine and complain at times. You know, we're all honest, we do it, we probably maybe even do it daily, I don't know, about something that we're facing, something that we're going through, something we don't like, something that's overwhelming, you know, something that's heavy on our hearts or whatever it may be. And what had happened is in the wilderness, it began to become a way of life every day for them. So I want you to think about it this morning, and if you're following along on the sermon outline, I'll have to explain what's going on here like I used to years ago, so it can help you to fill in the blank. So the first thing I want us to think about is I want us to talk about losing our focus. There's your first word this morning, losing our focus. And here's what I want you to see through the story of Numbers of the Israelites. Don't let circumstances, there's your next word, don't let circumstances dictate our focus. So I was working through this sermon and I had some different things I was trying to put together. And yesterday when I was kind of checking over everything, doing a little last minute editing, all of a sudden it hit me that what I was talking about was don't let our circumstances dictate our focus. So I changed what I had written in there and typed this in. And that's so true, isn't it? It's so easy for our circumstances to dictate our focus. You've heard me share the story before, back when I preached that sermon series on soaring with the eagles. And remember I talked about we can either be soaring with the eagles, mount up on wings of the eagles, you know, with God there with us, or we can be like the turkeys or chickens plucking and pecking in the dirt and scratching in the dirt all of our lives. And the distinction is, when we're soaring with God, we're looking up. We're elevating. With the chickens and turkeys, we're looking down and pecking in the dust and dirt and trying to find, scratch together whatever we can find. And that's exactly what's going on here. Sometimes our circumstances, if we keep looking at them, how bad it's gotten, how overwhelming it is, the bad news from the doctor or whatever else it may be, all of a sudden it becomes our focus. And we get like the Israelites, where we lose sight of God in the midst of our circumstances. See, somehow they lost their third eye because they lost sight of the wonder of what God just brought them through. Brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, through the Red Sea, and onto the other side into the wilderness. And not only that, but God was leading and guiding them and providing manna along the way. Well, the complaining, as I was sharing, got so bad that snakes came into the camp as a result, and they cried out to Moses for help. And God answered by speaking to Moses and giving him the direction. And out of that comes the story that we're familiar with. And if you've ever gone into the doctor's office, and you've ever seen that little pole on the doctor's office with the snake coiled around it, that's kind of where this story, this idea comes from there. And what I want you to see then is the second thing there is keep redirecting our focus. Because here's the thing. Listen, we all know one day we'll get through and it'll be a great day. The next day, we're facing something that's overwhelming us. We just have to learn to keep redirecting our focus because we can always get stuck on the problem. And God is wanting us to, every time we face a problem, every time we face an issue, to redirect our focus
and look to God. Always keep doing that, because God provided an answer in that wilderness story that involved redirecting Israel's focus. God instructed Moses to make that bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up for everyone to see. And anyone who looked on it lived. Now, I don't know how that all happened, and I don't know what that was, but I can tell you this, it was an act of trust is what it was. It was an act of them getting their eyes off the snake. Now, okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. So I was probably, 13. I was up at Grandma and Grandpa's. Grandma and Grandpa were both retired. In fact, I think Grandpa had already passed away. So I was up mowing the lawn for Grandma on the riding lawnmower, and I was out on the one side of the barn, which used to be the cattle would get turned out, and now it was just a yard, and we mowed it and everything. And I'm going along, and all of a sudden, I see this snake. Well, now, I was trying to tell the kids a little bit ago about how I felt about snakes. And the next thing I know, with not even thinking, I'm just turning and going over this way and following that snake, because my goal at that moment, and I know this sounds cruel, was to run over the snake with the lawnmower and take care of it. Now, I can probably, looking back, I would almost bet anything it was a garter snake. It was probably about this long, you know, but it was big enough that I could see it because I just didn't like snakes. And so that I shared that with you because notice where my focus went. It just followed the snake for a moment, you know. And that's what happens sometimes in our circumstances. We just, our eyes and our focus just follow what goes on in those moments. And God was trying to get them, no, don't look at that. Don't look at all the snakes around you. Look to what I provided so you may be healed. This is third eye focus. Instead of looking at our circumstances, they were to focus on God's provision. And we are invited to do the same thing. We are called to look for God's provision in Christ. And so that brings me to my second point there in the outline, is focusing on Christ. That's what the John 3 passage that we're all very familiar with. Most of you could have probably quoted it, you know, if I ask you to. What does that mean? Well, we're called to look to God's provision in Christ. That's what we're talking about. We don't look at a snake anymore like they did. We look to Christ. And here's what I want you to see. First thing is, we're called to trust in the one who was lifted up on the cross for our healing. The same exact wording is used there as in the Old Testament story. As Moses lifted the bronze snake on the pole up for the people to see, Jesus was lifted up on the cross for us to see. And that's who we look to. Why? Because we look to him, we trust in him, and give our adherence to him, because he's not only the one that was lifted up on the cross, but the same language is used to describe Jesus after his resurrection when he was ascended into heaven and exalted at God's right hand. He was lifted up even beyond the cross to something greater. And that's what I want us to see. And just as the Israelites were told to look upon the very thing that originally was bringing death in the camp, so we are asked to look to the one who was crucified for our wholeness, for our healing, for our forgiveness. And you could go on. Why? We today, we have a positive view of the cross. In Roman times, if you said, man, my best friend was crucified, he's the best, they would have thought you were crazy, because what happened was, is only insurrectionists and treason, people that were carrying out treason, were crucified. And it was a form of death penalty. And that's the irony and paradox of it all. And not only are we called then to trust in the one who was lifted up, but we are called to trust in the one who then gives abundant life. That's the gift that we receive through it all.
abundant life, wholeness, peace, forgiveness, you know, all of these things. Jesus was sent. Here, I want you to hear something this morning because I was thinking about this yesterday. Jesus was sent, as John says there, to save the world, not condemn the world. But do you know there's a lot of Christians today through their actions and the way they talk about people that don't agree with them, believe what they believe, or think the way they do, they seem to project that Jesus came to condemn the world instead of save it. But it's clear Jesus tells us he came to save the world. And when we look to Christ, we find healing and abundant life, not condemnation. Let me just stop for a moment. This isn't in my notes, but I want to say something about that. Sometimes we can be our own worst critics. Even in our faith, we mess up, we fail, we don't live up to what we think is the way God wants us to live, and we beat ourselves up. Let me tell you, Jesus did not come to condemn us. Jesus comes to save us. And that's why we always have that moment in before we celebrate communion where we acknowledge what God has done in Jesus and then say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. And send your spirit and do a work in my heart that I might follow you. I am so disappointed because I had the coolest PowerPoint picture I wanted to show you this morning of all days about where everything was blurry, but in the middle was the word focus, and it was clear as a bell, but everything else was blurry. As I was sharing with the kids, if you wear glasses, contacts, or even you use readers to read, you know about changes in prescriptions, don't you? From time to time. And they have to be corrected so that we can maintain our focus. Here's the thing I want you to hear. Whenever we're consumed by our circumstances, we become narrow in our thinking, and our vision begins to blur from seeing God's blessings and all that God has been doing and is doing in our lives, just like the children of Israel. But anytime we refocus on Christ and his new creation, we open ourselves to new vision and the abundant life that God has called us to live. This is where we see life with our third eye and trust that Christ will provide and lead us in abundant life. What a difference a change of focus makes. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts this morning for communion. And as we do so often, and again, I apologize about the technical difficulties this morning. Since we don't have our normal prayer this morning, I'm going to just offer a time of just silence for a little bit where you can talk to God about what's happening in your life. And then I'll come and I'll close us in prayer and then the assurance, and then we'll partake together this morning. So let's begin there with each of us by ourselves. We are thankful today for your provision in our lives through Jesus, who came and brought the way of abundant life. So we're grateful and we thank you for that. And Lord, we also make our confession today that oh so often we go astray and we go away from the way that Jesus has told us to go. Even Paul says, I so often do what I know to do, but I don't do it. And that is where we are so often, Lord, too. Forgive us. Come by your Spirit and fill us afresh and anew. Keep us and remind us to keep refocusing our attention onto Christ and all that he's done for us in our circumstances of life, as we thank you now for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Receive today of his forgiveness, and as he extends his grace to each of us in the name of Christ. And as we share here in a moment with the elements of the wafer and the cup and share together, receive of his grace today and receive of his forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, we'll go ahead if you have your elements, and we'll go ahead and peel off that first little clear layer so that we can grab out our wafer this morning. Maybe you can hold it up a little bit so I can see where everybody's at, so I don't get too far ahead if somebody's still trying to get the wafer out there this morning. We remember on the night when they had gathered together, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. And then we'll peel back for the cup this morning. Everybody has it there. Thank you. Thank you. A little later on, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and gave thanks. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes." Well, let's conclude our service this morning by standing together and turning in our hymn books. And we're going to be turning to hymn number 34, a little chorus really, more than a hymn. "Father, I adore thee, lay my life before thee" this morning. Let's sing it. "Father, I adore you, lay my life before you. How I love you, Jesus, I adore you, lay my life before you. How I love you, Spirit, I adore you, lay my life before you. How I love you." Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth knowing the darkness has been banished. May Christ the light illuminate our darkest moments, and may the Holy Spirit guide us until we worship together again. Amen. Amen.